Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey, City Church, welcome back to More Than That. I am sitting with Joe Gill. He had the pleasure of and honor of preaching this past Sunday. We're sorry it's coming to you a little bit late. Schedules this past week plus Independence Day just kind of messed the schedule all up, but that's all right. We'll recover and we're still here.
Yeah, so all 15 of you that listen.
So, Joe, you know the drill. 10 extra minutes. You got the floor. What do you have for us?
There are a couple of things that I might have spent some more time on if I had 10 more minutes. partly based on some feedback I've gotten, I would have tried if I had been thinking straight. I would have tried to offer some more clarification on what I meant when I was talking about the works that Christians are meant to be doing. because an important point that I was making in the sermon was that working out our salvation has a lot to do with the works, plural, that we are to be doing. And I think that perhaps the most basic kind of fundamental definition that I could offer to just sort of get people thinking and help them to start working these things out would be to say that the works that I was talking about are anything and everything that someone can do as unto the Lord.
Okay.
I'm talking about seeking to understand and apply God's law. Things like, one of the specifics that Paul mentions in the passage, do everything without grumbling and arguing. He's talking about maintaining unity in the community of believers, showing love one to another. so again, just about anything that if you stop and think, can I do this as unto the Lord, then those are some of the works that I'm talking about.
Okay.
When it comes to working out your salvation.
So it's more like things only Christians can do as like a... because you mentioned fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
Like that type of thing. It's because of this thing, this salvation, this faith that we have that you can do these.
Yeah.
Almost as if it was Christ himself. Is that kind of like what you're getting at? Obviously, well, with limitations, because we're not Christ.
Sort of like that, because the title for the sermon when it was posted was Imitate Christ, and that's what Paul is arguing for, as he's coming right out of the Carmen Christi, or the hymn to Christ as God, which talks about the things that Christ did. And Paul is setting that forth as an example for us to follow. one of the most remarkable things about being a Christian is that now that we are his children, we are actually capable of doing things that please him. Whereas for someone who is unregenerate and unsaved, everything that they are doing is coming from that heart of rebellion against God. And so there is literally nothing that they can be doing that can certainly not merit salvation or mm-hmm. merit grace or stand as righteousness before the bar of heaven. But there's nothing that they can do to really please God, because mm-hmm. the Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please God. Mm-hmm. And so if God hasn't granted to them any faith, if they're not exercising any faith in a state of salvation, then they can't be pleasing God. But for someone who is saved and who is a child of God, the works of righteousness that they perform, they may still not be perfect. But because of the covering of Christ, God can accept them in their sincerity, mm-hmm. imperfect as they are. And God can really say that he is pleased in those things. Working out salvation, I think I would also tie it very closely to the idea of walking in the Spirit.
Okay.
Because when the Holy Spirit gives someone that spiritual resurrection, and they are a new creature in Christ, mm-hmm. they are recreated with a new nature. They have new affections. Mm-hmm. So the Holy Spirit has introduced a new set of sort of cravings or desires or wants. And the old man hasn't been completely eradicated. So the old fleshly desires and, mm-hmm. and wants and longings, those are still there. And that's why the word says that the flesh lusts or its desires war against the Spirit, and that the Spirit lusts or its desires are at war with mm-hmm. those of the flesh. And you have this mm-hmm. you have this internal struggle, this battle. So working out your salvation, the salvation that God is working on the inside, again, that has to do with the work of the Spirit. And these new affections, these new desires that the Holy Spirit has brought toward holiness. Mm-hmm. And then the things that we do to comply with that and cooperate with that and encourage that. That's what we're talking about when we speak of working out one's salvation and the works that we are to do.
Okay.
So I hope that brings a little bit of extra clarity.
Yeah. I mean, clarity is... I love clarity. Like, that's one of the things that... Like, I just one of the things that I like, because everybody means... or could mean something slightly different. So, like, if we mm-hmm. can be as clear as possible so that, like, the youngest person in the congregation can understand what we're talking about and yep. be like, okay, there's the difference. I can spot it. It's like, I like that.
Sometimes even if people are using the same words,
yeah,
they can be using the same words and yeah. still talking about two, maybe not completely different, but sufficiently different things that they wind mm-hmm. up talking past each other because yep. they don't all have the same ideas in their heads.
Yeah, and even depending on like the context of the use of the word, that word does mean something different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your whole thing was about your, I mean, the majority of it was about sanctification.
Yes.
Which I appreciated, because I don't think that gets hit on as much as it should. You brought up, like, justification and how that gets overblown as, like, just have faith and then you can kind of let go and let God type thing. Doesn't really work that way, biblically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to kind of have, like, a sermon basically just on sanctification. but, like, we always talk about the glory of God, and yet Paul also talks about how we are transformed from glory to glory. And it's like, Paul's not using the word in the exact same way that we mean whenever we say the glory of God is being shown in the burning bush.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of like a reflection whenever Paul's talking about us going from glory to glory. So just that clarification there is just helpful.
Yes.
So in terms of sanctification, mm-hmm. A lot of times, like you brought up, work, like we just need to let go and let God, basically, for salvation. But then you mentioned works. What are some of those things, like what would you consider evidence of somebody's salvation being worked out? Whether that's audibly just kind of standing from afar or talking with somebody, what does it look like so that you can be like confident that mm-hmm. that person is on the right path?
That's an excellent question. Well, going back to the idea of the Holy Spirit introducing new hungers, mm-hmm. new desires, new affections, you're going to see a person seeking out God's revelation more. They're going to be developing a deeper interest in God's Word, learning about God's Word. Prayer is an evidence. The Holy Spirit, he is called the Spirit. The Bible says that the Spirit's been sent into our hearts crying out, Abba, Father.
Mm-hmm.
That he is a spirit of prayer. I believe R.C. Sproul, he was the first time I heard it, but mm-hmm. somebody else may have said it before him, but R.C. Sproul Sr. Mm-hmm. once said that a prayerless Christian is a contradiction in terms, that prayer is as natural to a Christian as breathing.
That
when the Holy Spirit comes in, he creates this desire and this mm-hmm. longing to connect to our Heavenly Father mm-hmm. in prayer. It just kind of bubbles up.
Yeah.
So someone, that's another evidence. A person will be showing more of an interest in prayer and more of an interest in practicing prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Old habits of sin, they might not disappear mm-hmm. altogether or immediately. Sometimes that happens, and that's great. But more often than not, God chooses to work by a process, and he usually involves our other brothers and sisters in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, old habits of sin will begin to weaken as the Holy Spirit is carrying out his campaign to conquer the person. And mentioning the community is another good mm-hmm. one. They'll have a desire to associate and to have fellowship with their brothers and sisters in Christ. In 1 John, the Apostle John says that they're communicating this message. Yes, what we have seen and heard, we also declare to you, so that you may also have fellowship with us. Then he says in verse 4, we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. So it is a peculiarly Christian desire and a longing that is brought in by the Spirit to be connected not only with our Heavenly Father,
mm-hmm.
but also with the rest of the divine royal family.
Yeah.
We want connection with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So these are all some of the things,
mm-hmm.
We'll call them the broader categories mm-hmm. of evidences that people would mm-hmm. be expected to start showing when the Holy Spirit is at work mm-hmm. within them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to point out that, especially with the way I have it written here, is like a diminishing habits of sin. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't expect like a Brian Head Welsh, who's the guitarist from Korn, that type of like radical transformation where like he threw his drugs down the toilet, flushed it, and never went back. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like the type of stories that we hear and we get like fired up about. It gives us a whole lot of hope. But that's not the story for all of us.
No. And I would say it's not the story for the majority.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a good reason for that. And this is a bit of a segue, sort of a rabbit trail. But
which I love.
I personally think that in most cases, God does that for our benefit. In other words, not delivering us in an instant.
Yeah.
And I think it's because for a lot of us, we think of ourselves as generally having it together except for this thing.
Yeah.
And if God were to just miraculously take this thing out of our lives, we would probably have a tendency to kind of forget about him and then just go on and live our lives because we got this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that for most of us, God will take us through a process, and it may be a long, drawn out, lengthy, painful process with repeated stumblings, because one of the things that God wants to make very clear is we still need him.
Mm-hmm.
Even once we do have this particular sin basically defeated, we still need God. And really, that's how we defeat the sin, is we are living a life of dependence on God. We are abiding in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we bear fruit, just like any other branch in a vine.
Yeah.
The branch receives the fruit-bearing power that it needs from the vine.
Mm-hmm.
If it's severed from the vine, it can't bear any fruit, and it'll wither and die.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's abiding in the vine, then it is enabled to produce fruit.
Yeah, and I spend way too much time on TikTok. It's really bad. But for some reason, I get like these like planting, like gardening people that cycle through. It's really interesting. But I don't garden, so I don't know where it's coming from. Other than the fact that I keep clicking on it because it's interesting. But it reminds me of a tomato plant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, tomatoes, depending on the type of tomato, it very much is vine-like.
Yeah.
But the whole idea here is just that I'm trying to get at is pruning.
Mm.
And the sanctification, we could think about it as a pruning.
Yep.
We do the same thing as our brains are developing. We have a pruning of the synapses and just the neural firings in our brain to make our brain more efficient. The way that we are growing up and the way that like a tomato plant would grow up to produce fruit is it needs to be pruned in a very specific way to make sure that the maximal amount of fruit comes from this plant.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the same way.
Yeah.
That's the, those little like offshoots of in between the main vine and the main branch, the little offshoots in between, like you're supposed to constantly be pruning them because they're going to keep popping up and popping up and popping up. So as long as we keep cutting them off and letting the nutrients go where they need to go, which then leads us into like prayer and Bible study, because those are the nutrients. Those are the food that we need in order to continue to prune.
Yeah. Yep. Prayer, Bible intake.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I like the way that Donald S. Whitney calls it Bible intake in his book on the spiritual disciplines. Because there's a number of different ways to ingest scripture beyond just regular study.
Mm-hmm. So other than just like sitting down physically reading, what are some of your favorite ways to ingest?
One of my favorite ways to ingest is to work on memorization.
Okay.
I like to use Scripture Typer. It's an app on my phone. It can be helpful for memorizing.
Okay.
Memorization is really a great way to meditate on Scripture.
Yep.
Because as you're repetitively going over the text, your mind will just naturally start to notice things and formulate questions about things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great way to start, and then you can kind of follow some of those questions in study later. But also, another one of my favorite ways is by being present in a Sunday morning service to hear the word preached. That's one of the ways that we get Bible intake. Listening to Christian podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
that's another way that we can have Bible intake. Sometimes I like to just get portions of the Bible and just read them basically as leisure reading. Because, you know, when you're doing Bible reading, you can do in-depth study, and that's really reading sort of deeply for understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's such a thing as reading more so for the purpose of familiarity,
mm-hmm.
But also to enjoy it. You know, one of the things that I would suggest people do, just maybe mix things up mm-hmm. a little bit, now and then, just pick up the Bible and go to a particular place that you just enjoy reading.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. I think God likes that, you know, and enjoy reading His Word.
Yeah. I mean, He created the whole idea and the concept of pleasure. So if it's something that we enjoy reading, like, and especially if it's His Word, like, He wants us to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they're done within their proper place.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think there's anything ever bad about reading the Bible.
You probably shouldn't crack open your Bible, like, if there's an active shooter situation at a school
yeah.
or maybe a building's on fire. Might not be the best time. And if you're going to be praying, you know, pray while you run.
Yes.
God yes. also made common sense.
Yes. Common sense and pleasure, they yes. don't always... Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
One of the other primary points that I would have liked to spend some time on is... verse 14 and 15
mm-hmm.
in Philippians chapter 2. Because I did kind of skip around a little bit in the Bible during my sermon. And I did kind of touch on this a little bit, but do everything without grumbling and arguing, it says in verse 14. And then in 15 it says, so that you may be blameless and pure,
mm-hmm.
children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world. And we'll go ahead and tack on verse 16 mm-hmm. as well to finish out the sentence. By holding firm to the word of life, then I can boast in the day of Christ that I didn't run or labor for nothing. One of the things I think I would have addressed if I had more time is, who exactly is it that we are blameless and pure for? And who is it that we shine like stars mm. to? Is this, it says that we may be blameless and pure. Are we blameless and pure in God's eyes or in the eyes of the world? The children of God, faultless in a crooked and perverted generation. Are we appearing as faultless before God or before that crooked and perverted generation? Are we shining like stars in the eyes of God or in the eyes of the world around about us?
Okay.
And I would say, in my personal opinion, this is most properly interpreted as being our appearing blameless and pure and shining to God.
Mm.
Rather than to the world. So that we are working our salvation out with fear and trembling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with fear and trembling, that has reference to God. We're working out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is working in you, both to will and work according to His good purpose. And to do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, I would say, blameless and pure before God. Reason for that, one of the reasons is that references to blamelessness in the New Testament pretty much uniformly refer to the status of the people of God in the sight of God Himself rather than in the sight of the world. So if this one was saying something different,
mm-hmm.
it would kind of be an oddball out.
Okay.
And I think that also Paul's reference to his being able to boast in the day of Christ. You know, this is where his mind is at here. So that kind of brings up an interesting thought is, and this is another one of those ideas that I think a lot of Christians don't think a ton about, and it would really benefit them to do so. Why do Christians have to be concerned with being blameless before God? I mean, aren't we already blameless before God because of the work of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said in my sermon, is we are freed from condemnation. And that was one of the once and done things. We don't have to worry about mm-hmm. condemnation anymore. But the Bible also still makes clear that it's not just unsaved people who are going to stand before God at the final day.
Yeah.
Everyone is going to appear before God, saved and unsaved. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 and 12 say, well, verse 10, we'll call it in verse 10c. Mm-hmm. We will all stand before the judgment seat of God. And he's talking there, well, if we read the whole verse, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you despise your brother or sister? So he's talking to Christians
mm-hmm.
and says, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Another reference to that effect is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 9 and 10, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to be pleasing to him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a truth that, again, doesn't get perhaps as much attention as it ought, which is that the Christian, at the day of Christ, he's not going to have to worry about being condemned.
Mm-hmm.
That is taken off the table. The question of hell is off the table. But he is still going to be subject to a kind of evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a picture of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll start in verse 10. According to God's grace that was given to me, I have laid a foundation as a skilled master builder, and another builds upon it. But each one is to be careful how he builds on it, for no one can lay any other foundation than what has been laid down. That foundation is Jesus Christ. And then starting in verse 12, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become obvious, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work that he has built survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will experience loss, but he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. And this kind of, it provides a bit of a picture for us that there is, in fact, there will be differences between the results that one Christian,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to another, gets. And it has everything in the world to do with the choices that we make now.
Mm-hmm.
Because now Paul is talking about building on a foundation, and the first and most obvious reference there is the work that he's doing with regard to the church.
Mm-hmm.
There's such a thing as doing things in accordance with God's will and God's word. And then there are ways that you can try to build on the church using merely human contrivances
mm-hmm.
That would probably fall into the category of wood, hay, and stubble.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul is saying that different people will have different ratios of the the durable stuff as opposed mm-hmm. to the burnables.
Yeah.
And that there are some that they will enter into salvation, but he says that they will experience loss, that because of the way that they built, a lot of their time and labor and energy that they spent building things
mm-hmm.
is going to go up in smoke. There are going to be differences of degrees of glory. And I actually really liked the way that John Bunyan expressed it. So this is an excerpt from a paper by John Bunyan, who, for those of you who don't know, this is the guy who's probably most famous for The Pilgrim's Progress.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He was a Puritan writer, and he actually wrote a lot of stuff other than The Pilgrim's Progress. And the Chapel Library website, I believe it is, they've kind of archived a lot of his writings. You can access them for free mm-hmm. Via PDF.
Yeah.
And he wrote a lot of good stuff. But this is from a paper called The Resurrection and the Last Judgment, I believe is what it's called. And he says this. Let me find the quote. Okay, Bunyan said, "All Christians have not the same enjoyment of God in this life, neither indeed were they able to bear it if they had it. But those Christians that are most laborious for God in this world, they have already most of him in their souls." That is, they have the greatest share of him in their souls. "And that not only because diligence in God's ways is the means whereby God communicates himself, but also because thereby the senses are made more strong and able by reason of use to understand God and to discern both good and evil." So he's saying that the people who are most zealous for God in the world, they're seeking God, they have more enjoyment of God than other Christians who aren't as serious about the ways of God and seeking God. And they have kind of a greater share of the experience of God in this life, and their personal capacities for enjoying God are more strengthened and more stretched. And he goes on to say, why shall he, I'm going to try and modernize the text just a little mm-hmm. bit here. So why should the person who does the most for God in the world enjoy him most in the world to come? But because by doing and acting, he says, the heart and every faculty of the soul is enlarged and more capacitated so that more room is made for glory. And then he says this, I love this. He says, every vessel of glory shall at that day be full of it, but everyone will not be capable to contain a like measure. Mm. So what Paul Bunyan is saying is that there will be differing degrees of glory and really, in a sense, blessedness. And it's not that anybody will be envious or unhappy with what they have. He says everybody's going to be full.
Mm-hmm.
But those who were more active for God in their earthly life will have been strengthened and stretched and enlarged by their experience of God here, so that in the world to come, they will be able to hold more glory.
Okay.
Everybody's going to be full, but people who made different choices in their earthly life are still going to be able to hold more. And again, I'm going back to the seeking blessedness, seeking to please God in our earthly lives as we are working out our salvation. Jesus talked about storing up treasure for ourselves in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So this is possible. And I think that's when you're doing things as unto the Lord, You know, Jesus talked mm-hmm. about, he talked about giving to the poor, or when anyone gives one of these little ones who belong to me a cup of water in my name, they shall by no means lose their reward, he says. When we do things as unto the Lord, not for anything that we would receive from men, but when we do things out of love to God, and really in such a way that only He can reward them appropriately, then we store up treasure for ourselves in heaven. And strictly speaking, it's possible for some people to store up more treasure than others. Mm-hmm. So this I would have tried to kind of squeeze this into the sermon too if I'd had the time, just because I think it's another way to help motivate ourselves to be working for God, to be seeking God, to become serious about working out our salvation. Because again, our works and our actions, they matter, especially now that we're saved. Mm-hmm. It's not that nothing we do makes any difference to our eternity. We can actually please God by the things that we do, and we can increase our glory and our blessedness and our reward by choosing correctly.
Mm-hmm. Well, that brings, so one of the more confusing parables is Luke 16, the parable of the unrighteous steward. And that brings that all mm-hmm. into a whole new light, where when you read, and the guy got fired for fixing the books, but then he goes, he makes amends, but then he also sets himself up for later. Mm. So thinking about it from a justification, salvation, or justification, sanctification viewpoint,
mm-hmm.
that justification is the fixing of the books. The books are not fixing it, or they are... the books are reconciled.
Yes.
The books are then reconciled, and then that sanctification side is then that assurance, or not assurance, but the making sure that he's good for later.
Mm-hmm.
So he's working towards that.
Yeah.
More like a retirement, rather than like... pinching pennies and working paycheck to paycheck. He's setting himself up for later. So that's just an interesting... I had to write a paper on that parable. So like that one always sticks out whenever something like this comes up.
Another good parable would be the parable of the talents.
Yes. Yep.
Because there you have in effect a parable about saved people,
mm-hmm.
because you have the picture of the master. He's going away, he's going to come back, and everybody's given a certain amount mm-hmm. to trade with, and two of them make good choices about how they handle the money. One of them makes a poor choice, and that affects their results and their outcomes when the master mm-hmm. comes back. And so you have something similar here. Yes, if we have our faith in Christ, yes, we will be delivered from damnation. We will be delivered from condemnation. We'll be delivered from the wrath of God. But our results are still, like our results in glory,
mm-hmm.
still are connected to the choices that we make now. And our actions today make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
to what happens at the day of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to leave that one there because that's a good one to end on.
Sure.
Yeah. So, Joe, thank you for taking the time and prep for not just this and thinking about what else you would have talked about, but also prep for the sermon.
Mm-hmm.
It was very good, even though I listened to it afterwards. But yeah, very good regardless. And thank you for all that you do, playing music, drums.
Sure.
And then being an elder in training as well. All of that, you know, it works. There's a lot of things that go on that you're involved in. So I just want to thank you for all of that. And I want to remind all of you that are listening, this isn't, yes, this is, what did he call it? What was the Whitney's, what did Whitney call it?
Oh, Bible intake.
Bible intake. Yes, this is a little bit of Bible intake, but it's not a replacement for the sermon. It's not a replacement for being in a community of believers. Mm-hmm. So I want to encourage you, we want to encourage you to go back, listen to the sermon, or come this coming Sunday and be a part of a community of believers, get plugged in. We'd love to get to know you, get to see where, you know, your strengths and your proclivities are so that we can get you plugged in and serving as best possible.
Diversify your Bible intake.
Yes.
it should be a balanced diet.
Yes. Yes. Very, very balanced.
Bible reading, sermons, radio shows, podcasts, what have you.
Wherever you can get good, solid Bible stuff, that's where you should be going.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Joe, thank you again, and we will see you all next week.
God bless everybody.